All right, nearly said we continue as if I was here before. I was not here. Don't forget about what you have heard before. That one does not exist. The real one is here now. Good morning and welcome to Tech. And today we are going to discuss, maybe let it not be a tech show as usual. We are going to make it a very special tech show. Maybe let's talk about the issue of the technology then that was used, and I want you to come through. I want to give you more time today. Because I wanted to talk about the ICT, the negative impact of ICT, but I don't think it really fits today's day. I might talk about it on Monday. Let's talk about the technology of writings. The designs of letters and alphabetical or numerics that led to the counting and to the preservation of history written in various characters, especially in the Arabic, Greek, Indian, Persian, and so forth, characters. I don't want to go biblical. Of course, you had a good conversation with Wanda, and since today is a holiday, I want to bring you something that is very closer to today. I'm not going to walk in Wanda's footsteps. I think if I will be the John the Baptist here to say I'm not worthy to untie the shoelaces of his shoes. But do you realize that there was some form of ICT in the past? Information communication technology in the past. Do you realize that there was some form of ICT in the past? I want to, and ICT being a general term, that's a blanket term that involves everything. And most of us, when we say writing and the mathematics, is not, we would really think it's not part of ICT. But ICT or writing, let me say literacy and numeracy, is part of technology. So, and it's actually the motherboard of technology. It's a mother of technology. Everything is written and coded. So everything is written and coded. Softwares are written and they are coded. So you have literacy and numeracy in technology. So technology cannot be technology without literacy and numeracy. Now let's talk about 2 BC. What was there? And 2 BC, we are now talking about the period of the birth of Jesus, which is between 2 and 4 BC, and then his death, that is between 30 and 33 AD, where you see that by then people were writing. The Chinese, the Indians were writing. They were having alphabets. The Egyptians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans were having their writings. So there was some form of information, communication, and technology. How do people used to communicate from one place to the other? On Monday, I will join Wanda with this early morning show, and we will discuss this in details. But I want to drive you to the issue, the importance of literacy and numeracy in technology. 66 million years ago, according to science, an asteroid fell from heaven targeting dinosaurs. Only dinosaurs. We don't know what else existed. But an asteroid fell from the skies, written and decoded specifically to ravage dinosaurs, nothing else. And it seems that this was a nuclear asteroid whose impact is felt to date that no dinosaur was born. They went extinct completely. Just that one event. So what type of technology can be used to date 66 million years ago by archaeologists, where nobody was present, when people could not believe what happened 2,000 years ago when humans were in the world, when at least there were maybe 500 million people in the world, or some 200 million people in the world? Is that not a significant population enough to have witness, to have some account of certain events that we debate to say they are not true? And then 66 million years ago, or 500 million years ago, when there was no human being. Because according to science, humanoids don't really have the capacity to remember. For example, if you talk about the Homo habilis and the Homo erectus, some scientists say that their brains were too small. And it's only Homo sapiens that has a larger brain, which means he has an iCloud capacity to store information. So there is some in storage. He has an iCloud server in his brain to be able to store and create backup of the information. So if what archaeologists are saying is to be believed, then that drives us to for us to understand that in the absence of literacy, in the absence of numeracy, technology cannot thrive, because those are the two pillars on which technology thrives, because technology is written and coded. There must be coding, which means numbers, and there must be writings, which means some alphabetical character of some sort. So there must be some numbers. There must be some numbers It is coded, written, and programmed. Even in the programming, you still code, you still write. You want to write a certain sequential kind of, you create a sequential order, if you like, on how, on the behavior of an application, what this application should behave. You create its personality. You create its character. You create its nature. That when A happens, B happens. When C happens, D takes place. When you do this, this pops up. When this pops up, it means this. So the software understanding you and you understanding it, you tend to work. So, for example, if you go into Microsoft as an application or as a software, you will open Microsoft Excel, which is an application, so that if you do something, you write in Excel, it will be different, it will appear different to the way if you could have written it in words. And if you write a document, you also have options. When you go into the save as, there is whether there is RTF, which is rich text font or format, then you have PDF, then you have then. So it's many formats. And the program is programmed to say if it is saved in PDF, this is how it will behave when you want, for example, if you want to copy and paste, you cannot copy anything and paste it, and if it is not, if it is in PDF. In some instances, you can't. Because a personality has been created, a character has been created, and a nature has been created, and a free will, the software has been given a free will to choose not to respond according to what you are asking it to do, because it's not in its nature to do that. Because the one that programmed it, wrote it, and coded it not to perform what you want. So it will go according to the will of the one that programmed and created it. So that's how important numeracy and literacy is to a software or to technology. The people of old had their own way of preserving the writings. For example, yesterday we were talking with Mr. Mike George. You were saying something that is written in hard copy, it is difficult if you want a certain document. So you'll be paging. But now with soft copy, if I want an act of parliament, for example, that was passed in 2001, I just had to Google it. It will come because it's soft copy. In those days, people were writing on stones, or which means the tablets, or they wrote on some skins or hides, including the Bible. It was written, part of it was written in the stone, on the stones, which means the tablets of stones. And then came the skin, the skins, the scrolls. The scrolls now, what was written on the stones was transformed into a scroll because technology started improving. They transformed it into a scroll because technology kept improving. When technology was improving, they found out that they can actually create a scroll in a form of a skin, an animal skin, which is hard to actually destroy. It can be preserved for longer periods. If not burned by fire. So they took those 10 commandments and the authorships of all those books, they put them into a scroll. And the technology thereof, the people were not so numerical to the point that they could divide books into verses or chapters. A scroll was just everything written just like that. So it was, again, when technology improved as far as numeracy, literacy is concerned, and books, in 325, then you had a different technology that could transform these scrolls, the book from the scroll into one book. So there was a transformation from this technology of the scroll into a one book. So it was compressed and they created a smaller version of a book. Computers were big. I understand computers. One computer was bigger than this room where I am when the people started building computers. But today, anything can be a computer. Today, your phone is your computer. You have laptops. And maybe we are going to soon have fingertops. Nobody knows. Or hand tops. Nobody knows the transformation that is going to take from here. So it was Jerome who puts the book together under that technology, the new way of doing things. So he puts all the books together. All 105 books were put together, and it was not inspiration that divided the book into 66. We are going to talk about that on Monday. It was an imperious decision. We're not going there, but the technology then dictated that bigger things can be made smaller, but with the same content, but in a portable way. So it's the same content, same information, but it is made portable, just like computer. It was a huge thing, but somebody came to say, look, we can do this. We can do this better. A computer, somebody must be able to carry it. It must be a personal computer, PC, not a public building.
It's Sunday lunch, and Mama's cooked our favorite real good chicken.
Lunch is ready.
I hand her my plate, hoping to get my favorite piece of chicken, the drumstick. Salad, pumpkin, rice, and now for the moment I've been waiting for, the most delicious chicken ever. Of course I got a drumstick, because Mum buys the 2 kilograms real good chicken mixed portion bags, so that everybody in the family can enjoy their favorite piece of chicken. Real good chicken, real tender, real tasty, real good. Proud project of Namib Poultry.
So it is a personal, that's why it was called PC. He said, let me remove this as a, from this, let us transform the computer from being a public computer into a PC or into a personal computer that somebody can carry it and own it. And as years went by, computers became small. You just get a system box with a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse. And that's it. A keyboard, a mouse, a computer box, which is a system box, and a monitor, which is a screen. There you go. But now they even have a built-in, multiple built-in, it's a computer and a screen at the same time. You just lift it up once. You just need to connect a keyboard and a mouse. And that's it. Now, do you know that the smart TV, a smart TV now you can just connect your mouse and your computer, and your keyboard. It's a computer on its own. Do you know that? So things are changing, and all that hangs on numeracy and literacy. The more literacy improved, the more numeracy improved, we see that even technology itself improved. Even technology itself improved. So, the question that has been debated by many people who are both scientists and non-science scholars is the issue of dating, of which it is also still too technical for me. For somebody to jump the thousands of years and then going to 66 million of dinosaurs, and some people are even debating to say some of those bones that are being discovered by archaeologists are not dinosaurs. They are elephants and other animal bones that might not even have died 66 million years ago. And some people argue that when somebody died, even those who died 2,000 years ago, you can really hardly find a bone, a piece of their bone. So you can, because of the speed in terms of how things degrade. So you could hardly find their bones. But if that be true, then it puts the 66 billions of years ago of archaeological dating into a lot of questions. So every tribe in the world had their own numeracy or numerical characters. They have their own counting. They have their own technology and actually science and measurement techniques and how they measure how much, for example, in Oshwambo, they measure how much yeast to put in Oshikundu. Yeast, the traditional yeast that is meant to ferment Oshikundu for it to be well, we call it Ongudo. And then in Silozi, it's called Mumela. So for it to be, they had their own measurements to say you measure one handful. They look at a vessel in which they are brewing this type of drink. They determine, okay, for it to ferment in this, for us to have a good alcohol, a substance in Oshikundu, we need a handful and a half of yeast. So they will measure that. Or maybe a piece of a smaller calabash type of a traditional cup or measuring cup that they will put in, and they will know that one full and a half makes the level of alcohol to the standard that we want. So one can argue to say this was not technology, but I'm just telling you the footprint of the technology that we have today did not start 20 years ago. It did not also not start in the Hollywood presentation of in jury or through the science fictions. The problem is that in Africa, the reason why we are behind is because we were not interested in expansionism. We were not interested in expansionism and plagiarism. I think we became content with what we had, and that was enough. So we did not weaponize our technology or techniques and way of doing things like others have done. And that's why when the Greeks started to weaponize their knowledge, they started to think to steal from the Persians, from the Romans, from whoever, and the Romans came to steal, because all the countries that they conquered, they stole something because they want to use that as a weapon. That's where in Africa we became behind, because if we were weaponizing this, we could have been the best continent with the best literacy and best numerous, best mathematics subjects in Africa. Because our measurement of things, the way of we determined what the time was, the way we determined months and years, was so unique to the point that if it could have continued, we could have been the best drivers of technology and innovation in our time. Do you know that the measurement in terms of the length and the width, the breadth of land, we had that. Even in Oshwambo, they know that. A person will just come and look. And by looking, the headman will give you an accurate measurement of your portion of land. Accurately. No mistakes. You start here, ends here. How do they determine the borders of kingdoms? So one would really argue to say it's not technology. But you can really get the footprint. You can get the footprint of technology in what I'm saying. You can get the footprint of ICT in what I'm saying. Of course, since this is a talk radio station, we don't monopolize information except by virtue of you presenting something, and by listening to you, one tells that you don't really have substance in what you are saying. And that's something different. But you can come through. It is 21 minutes to 12. You can come through and let's have a discussion. I didn't want to go into a modern technology discussion or discussion of modern technology today because it's Easter Friday. I wanted to list to talk about technology, but in a way that is, in a Good Friday way, if I have to say that. So 083-288-401, that's the number in studio. Now, let me give you another measurement, another technology that our people had. Do you know that they used the shadow or the shade to determine what the time was? So I'm saying that if this technology was weaponized, or if we used it, interested in weaponizing it so as to expand, we could have been the best drivers of technology, and we could actually have been the best innovators. Other countries took a lot of Greek mythology, a lot of Latin mythology, Chinese mythology, Indian mythology, whatever, Persian myth, to create what we are seeing today. They went into China and they found out how the Chinese communicate. They stole that knowledge. They went into India. They see how Indians write and read their characters. They stole that information. They went into the Persians. They took that. They took the information. They went into ancient. They made research about the ancient Iraq and ancient Israel, the ancient Egypt, ancient African way of life. They took all that information and they combined it, and it is now weaponized against the original owners of this type of techniques. So it's now being used against them. It's now used against you to downgrade your countries, to say that this is not developed, it's underdeveloped. Of course, combining it with their own, they also had their own. So, another technology, footprint in technology, is healthcare in Africa. Healthcare in Africa, people knew that a certain root of a tree or a certain bark of a tree, this is a potion. This is a potion that can be used to cure chest pains and chest irritations. But then, for it to perform the job well, you need to put a dosage. You need to determine a dosage. And dosages are determined that it is this pinch, how many pinches, how many drops, I remember I was taken to a witch doctor. I was 10 years. And the witch doctor said, they must put this the type of drops, otherwise my sight will be too strong. So, otherwise, my sight will be too strong. So my uncle, out of his curiosity, he violated the order. He was putting too much in my eyes because he wanted the sight to be strong. So all that was just a dream. But be it as it may, I respect the fact that there is knowledge in determining the dosage, and that knowledge shouldn't be despised at all. If we respected, if we used that for the purpose, and, or like other people used their own knowledge, we would be the best continent in healthcare technology right now. We would have been the best continent. We would have been leading, a leading continent in innovation as far as healthcare is concerned. Yes. Yes, Uncle Shangala, I don't want Toshiwambo today.
It's
a type of a garment, an attire.
All those were measured. So we have the technology, we have a, okay, tech, it is only the word come today.
And the word can be new, but it existed already before the word.
Yeah, the word tech is new, but the action is old system, which we do not know who, because there's somebody who created. Just when those people were created a long time before us, somebody who created, and maybe when it comes to action, it developed by step by step. The one who started as a little bit, the one will add, and the second will add, and the fourth or the tenth will be make everything accurate. You see? So that measurement were there. And even the white, they started the same thing. Then they develop to the new tech now. Those are bringing everything what to us. So I don't think there's anyone who will add that there was no, although the word not, but we can use it today that the tech. It is not a similarity like a God when he create a human being. We call a human being to other different way. So, but the way how they come on the earth is one. But then we have the similarity, the same. As the whites were having, but only that they got the technology higher because they get something which they have, they're supposed to make it. And Africa, so we have a lot of things what we have done, only that our talented not to develop, go higher because our colleague, white people come and the rabbit, when they come here, they just come and they make. Especially many things are made from our own resources, and we were using them like a diamond. Copper, whatever. We were doing it. Atu ambromi kongo, atu nami leva oma leva ila bayengi. Jina kuta mshu ambaji na nami ni mshu ni mali oma leva pa ambroma temo, maleva ambromi kongo maleva. We had those things, my dear. So only that people, when they came with another high technology and take from us, even a canoe in a river. Nobody teach them. We were the people who made it before. So by short, I can just end up there.
Thank you very much, Uncle Shangala. All right. Now, look, he's correct. Now, when we talk about nuclear weapons, the first people to create nuclear weapon were the sun, the one that we call the Bushmen. And I'm going to tell you what that is. Do you know that with a nuclear weapon, for a weapon to be nuclear, is because you put a warhead, a nuclear warhead on it. For example, if you have a missile, it can also carry a nuclear warhead. So that thing also existed here. That's why, according to history, apparently the one Oshwambo Dalit, the Ovangajera, was too powerful to the point that they could ravage any other Oshwambo territory from Mondonga up to Kwanyama there, because they had these nuclear weapons that was most feared by everyone, and they got this skill from the San community. The issue of putting, they create an arrow, and they put a certain poison or a certain agent. So this is both nuclear and biological weapon. Certain agent that once they shoot you with that arrow, you will not go far. Because it's poison. That's a nuclear weapon. The only problem is just that we did not go far. And if we could have gone far, Africa again could have been the leading continent in nuclear systems. Had these people discovered uranium and understood how they can manipulate it, I don't think there was anybody who was going to beat them. Because for somebody to come up with this arrow with a poison, you can already tell the footprint of military technology. So you can tell that there are footprints of military technology. It's only that it did not develop further. But the idea has been there. Maybe when the people came to Africa, they took this idea and this idea was taken to European physicists who processed it, and maybe they came up with better weaponry. But should we have gone far with this one, Africa would be leading not only in healthcare technology, even in communication and everything. So that's... Yes.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I am good. No, I just want to supplement Mr. Shangala that the technology has been here in Africa. Even those things of measurements have been here. People using especially the arrows and the bows. They were, a person can measure with either hands. People were using hands. They were using feet, especially the arrows, they were using their arms. You should have the arrows according to your arms. And even our blacksmiths, those who were making those knives and they call it swords or shimbi, those things to cut. People have been using measurement. It's only that our measurement. And I think you are right when you say maybe people came to when they came to Africa is where they took those things of measurement, because African people, they have been with different things which nowadays are developed in a very good technology. Because they have been using even farming. They have been farming. They have been farming. They measure their things. As I said, those I forgot the word. There is also one which is called hefty, to measure the weight of the something. So technology has been here. It's not that, it's only that we did not develop the books and other things to read, like European who were blessed with those things, so that they can write their things and so on. I heard somebody was like, because they don't know those things like counting, they were using tying knots on the ropes to mark the years. You know that they are also using those the loins from the cow's meat to tie their things, especially when a woman gave birth. They were using those loins to tie the cords, the umbilical cords of the for the child. So, and also they were using that oshimbi. A special knife was made just to use those things, and also was also a special one which used to shave people's head. You see, so it wasn't will be used by anyone to cut anything. That one was just special to shave people's head, and it was owned by not by everyone. People, you will find them like going to somebody's house to go and be shaved. So technology has been here, and you know you wonder how the person finds out that those loins, efipa kujamo mombelela yongo benga or that drukulongi. So ododo nekwe had long fanga shoku, like to when tavalumbiri kuti avanganya, and it was so very useful. And they were also made for the bows of ipayokuta. It was also made from the skins of the cow, like kudus. They were using that one. So technology is here, and I think it even started here, maybe. So because we were only that we would disadvantage because we don't know. We were not blessed with writing. So thank you very much, Mr.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah, I think technology is what begin in Africa.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, we will really not be correct by saying that the technology started here. Every country, place, have their own technology. So they had their own technology. The only problem is that other countries or the other places that wanted to expand, they used their knowledge as part of their weapons, in part of the weapons in their arsenals. And whenever they find knowledge somewhere where they're going to conquer, and they find interesting knowledge there, they will take it and make it their own. So they will take it and make it their own. And they will keep using it as... And that's why Alexander could conquer up to almost India. Because he was busy not only conquering territories, he was also intellectually conquering. Because they were armed with both weapons, conventional weapons, and together with knowledge. So they had both. And that's why they could do that. But of course it was impossible for him to go to India. He died on his way there. Right. Of course my time is approaching. It is 2:12.
did some Good Friday.
All right, before I say my goodbyes,
looking at the footprint of technology, dating it to some thousand years ago, how technology manifested itself. We cannot really say technology started now.
Quiet. That's why I don't want. Don't want to go into
just
MICT
trying to
today.
Try to see if we can, if there is any historical footprint
to Good Friday
of technology. Yes.
Well, Franz, on this Friday, we'll be ending off with our product and branding discussion for the same purposes, because the product is the most essential thing that you've got to sell. So on today's session, we'll be closing off with that, but we will also at the same time be branching into another important approach, which is having a look at the next phase of branding and branding and the next phase of innovation also associated to it, because there's so many things associated to innovation within the whole branding exercise.
Yeah.
Right. Let me leave you and wish you a good Friday, of course, with Dwight taking you deeper into the brand conversation. From myself, it's a goodbye. We meet again on a Monday on Tech Show. Don't forget, I will also sneak into Wanda's show on Monday.
To our valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken, some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus, which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers,
limit or avoid travel, and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer, and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.